Yeah, happy Tuesday. Kevin Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. How's everything in, I guess you're in sunny Miami now, right, Drapes?
Yes, in Miami. Yeah, hold on. I got some technical difficulties here.
It's all right. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Kyle Draper on the road with the Kings, of course, last night. Had the play-by-play in Memphis. And then moving on to Miami, where the Kings take on the Heat tomorrow. And you can't really blame the Kings for maybe coming out with less than 100% effort last night. They knew they didn't need probably to put their best foot forward to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. And, yeah, that game probably ended up being a little closer than it needed to be. But the Kings get the W, 120 to 115. So even when the Kings are underwhelming right now, Drapes, they're still looking better than they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Whitey? You got me
good?
Yes,
sir. We got you loud and clear. Right. Thank you.
You know what? I'm glad you said what you just said, because here's the thing about the Sacramento Kings. It wasn't pretty, wasn't the cleanest of games, but they got the win.
Yeah.
And to me, that's ultimately what's most important. And when you look at an NBA schedule, you're going to have games like we saw last night. I think it's encouraging that they threw the ball away as much as they did, was still able to find a win. And, you know, one thing I, you know, talked to the players about yesterday is the fact that, sure, you know, they jump out to a 15-point lead on you. Memphis doesn't have anybody playing other than Jaren Jackson Jr., but you don't panic. You hit singles. You don't go for the home run, the grand slam to try and get back in the game. You just kept hitting singles. And I thought that's what happened last night.
Yeah, maybe I'm being fooled here, but like I said, you know, in the recent weeks when the Kings would not play well, even if they won, it just felt like, okay, something's not right here. But last night it felt like, yeah, we're good. They've got some things figured out, and it wasn't their cleanest game, but I don't feel like there's any underlying problems. Maybe I'm fooling myself, like I say, Drapes, but right now just everything feels much, much more positive than it did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I make the mistake, Whitey, of every time the Kings play, you know, because I'm traveling back, we hopping on the team, playing the bus, and, you know, you're bored, so you go to social media. And so I'm like, all right, let me see what people are saying. And, you know, some of the negativity, like, it just bothers me, man. It's like it's fake outrage. Oh, people are upset. Oh, man, they won, but it shouldn't have been that close. And, you know, the 19 turnovers. Shut up. This fake outrage is just getting to be too much for me, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what I felt like happened after the game. We can't just look at where this team is, 27-18, fifth in the Western Conference. They've won four in a row. Now is not the time to be whining and moaning and complaining. Enjoy, you know, a nice, solid win, I thought.
Yeah, and you do have to give, I think, some credit to the Grizzlies, and I know it's cliche, but they do play hard. And I'm sitting there, as I'm sure you and Katie were, you know, we heard you doing the game, and Santi Aldama is like, man, he made another three. I mean, he made the first two, and he's still making them. That's not supposed to happen. So there was some nervous times in that game.
Yeah, but this is the NBA, and you know, Whitey, you've covered the league, and sure. Jay, you know, when guys who don't get an opportunity get an opportunity, you know, they're going to shine. You know, one thing I talked to with Brevin Knight, who's the Grizzlies analyst, I talked to him about before the game. What people don't understand is pretty much everybody in the NBA came into the NBA as a bucket getter,
yep,
as guys that could score. At the college level, they were their team's leading scorer. They were their go-to guys. And when you get to the NBA, you sort of have to sacrifice and you get fit into a role, boxed into a role. Well, Santi Aldama, you know what? The dude can shoot. He's a ball player. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at a guy like Matthew Hurt, who came in last night. Like, all these guys, this is the NBA. Every guy on the floor can score buckets. And one thing that, you know, I wasn't worried is that the Grizzlies were hitting all their threes early. They're not a really good three-point shooting team. They take a lot of them, and you hope that, you know, water will find its level at some point. And I think that's ultimately what happened. And so, you know, the Grizzlies, they know just as well as everybody, oh, man, we're without 11 players. Everybody thinks we're done. We're going to go out there and show them. And they played hard. And I thought our guys, you know, played the right way and got back into it and had the right mindset throughout the game.
Yeah, that was in no ways to me a troubling win. During the game it was a little touch and go here and there, but overall it's like, yeah, they got the win. And then Domas, of course, with 26 rebounds. I really appreciated it after the game, Kyle, you and Katie signed off, And then Deuce and Morgan were doing an interview with Domas, and Deuce asked him, you know, basically like, how do you do that? How do you get that many rebounds? And Domas said, well, they helped. They missed an awful lot of shots. And it's like, yeah, there's certainly that. But he's just so relentless. And it was interesting reading the piece in The Athletic from Sam Amick, where basically Domas says he's kind of motivated by fear. He's just always feeling like, I got to do more. I got to do more. And the Kings are benefiting from that, obviously, right now.
Yeah, and it's something I talked to him about after the game. You know, I said, you know, where does this drive, this determination, this wanting to play hard day in and day out, where does that come from? And he told me, basically, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, and when you retire, and at the end of the day, you don't want to look back on and say, you know what, I didn't give it my all. Or you don't want to look back on and say, you know what, I wish I would have did this. He said, and he walked off the stage, and I said, no regrets, right? He's like, exactly. I don't want to have any regrets about my effort during my career.
Mm-hmm. And then 23 from De'Aaron Fox on 14 shots. Obviously, you don't need me to read the box score here, but it was just, all things considered, a nice feel-good win. Probably a night where the Kings were hoping they could have a little more downtime, all right? Because they know they got a lot of games coming up here. They got Miami coming up. But they got the W, and now all of a sudden you look at the standings and some nice things happening for Sacramento.
Exactly. And, you know, to get off on this seven-game road trip with three straight wins, I think is momentous. It's huge because, as you know, things get tough. For sure, Miami's lost seven in a row. We'll see them tomorrow. But you're talking teams that are either playoff teams or play-in teams at this stage. And so the schedule gets, you know, infinitely more difficult. But you're right, man. It, you know, you look at a guy like De'Aaron Fox scoring 23 points, and it only took him 14 shots. You know, and the fact that he got to the line 10 times, I would have liked for him to make more free throws, obviously. But, you know, there were several encouraging signs last night, despite the 19 turnovers. And you're right. You look at the standings. I mean, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, we talked the other day about there being sort of a line of demarcation between, you know, the top four seeds and everybody else. If I'm correct right now, the Kings are just three games behind in that fourth spot, race
correct.
For that fourth spot
correct.
Behind the Clippers. And so, I mean, you know, there's still some time to make this up. And so I'm not counting them out at all right now from maybe even being a top four Western Conference team.
Yeah, yeah. And I think neither one of us would have said that about 2 weeks ago, but here right? Yet here we are. The Suns, by the way, I know we're going to talk about all the trade rumors swirling around. There's one going around today. I don't know how solid it is, but there's talk of the Suns maybe getting Miles Bridges. What do you think of that?
Really?
Yeah, I saw something along those lines. Yeah, that would be tricky for him to do. Yeah, that's the other thing here. The Kings may feel great about things now, but all those teams around them, they're all looking at ways to improve, and we could still have some seismic changes here before the deadline.
Yeah, and, you know, our guy Anthony Slater had a good article about the Warriors on The Athletic, and the thing about it is everybody's buyers right now. There aren't a whole lot of sellers. There are some, but when you look at the Western Conference, I'm looking at 12 teams that are buyers right now. Everybody from Golden State to Houston, even Utah, I think, you know, they may sell off a part or two, but they may be looking to buy us. Like, there are 12 teams that aren't out of it right now. Mm-hmm. And so I just think when you look at the landscape of the West, the competition, whether it's for Miles Bridges, whether it's for Caruso, whoever it may be, it is going to be fierce. And you may have to overpay for some guys. I don't know how the Suns are going to, you know, land a guy like Miles Bridges. I don't know how much it's going to take, but didn't they give up everything in Bradley Beal trade? Didn't they give up everything in Kevin Durant trade? Like, what more assets do these guys have?
Yeah, I think they have a lot of second rounders maybe, and they have Utah Watanabe. So I don't know. By the way, speaking of all this, you know, how tightly packed it is in the West, you had the Rockets over the Lakers last night. What was that? LeBron's response to what Dylan Brooks did to him. You know, I'm not a big Dylan Brooks fan. You are. But to me, LeBron just, he gets hit in the face and it looks like he got shot. I didn't think that was the best response.
Come on, Whitey.
He goes right down and he's like, ah, get up and hit him back. No, you're not with me on that?
No, you can't do that in today's NBA. What should have happened, Dylan Brooks should have been ejected from the game.
Okay.
That should have happened. You know, if you're LeBron James, you know, you've never been a fighter, first of all. Let's call it like it is. LeBron has never been that dude to really square up on anybody.
Sure.
And when you look at LeBron's arc of his career, whether it's Lance Stevenson, whether it's Deshaun Stevenson, whether it's Dylan Brooks, he's always had sort of a villain or a rival that's trying to get under his skin. And I thought what Dylan Brooks did, you know, when you look at the replay, it was a dirty shot. It was a cheap shot.
And I agree.
He should have been ejected. Now, what should have happened, Whitey, and this in the old NBA, you notice how it would have been. Maybe not LeBron, but somebody else on the team should have came in and did something, you know, to have his back. Well, who's the enforcer on the Lakers, you know? Yeah. And that's what should have happened. Or it should have been a hard foul on Dylan Brooks next time. But these guys aren't like that, man. You know, there's only a handful of guys in the league like that. And so, and you know I'm a Dylan Brooks guy.
I know.
But
I know.
He had multiple cheap shots yesterday to push in the back of Jared Vanderbilt. I'm like, it's nowhere, no place in the game for that. I was disappointed in Dylan because I've gone on record as saying I would love for him to be here in Sacramento, but I can't condone those kind of antics.
Now, did you happen to see, not to put you on the spot, but I don't know if you watched the Lakers, and you probably didn't because I think it was right after the Kings played the Lakers and the Warriors, the double overtime game on Saturday after. Yeah. And there was a play late in the game. I forget. It might have been into regulation, one of the overtimes. Draymond Green is trying to foul Anthony Davis, and he smacked him across the face. He smacked him hard, and Anthony Davis had the ball kind of down by his waist, and Draymond hit him up in the forehead, and somebody on the Lakers said, check that, and Draymond went, he started mocking that. The league didn't even look at it. I think at this point, it's like, they don't want any part of any of that Draymond stuff anymore. It's like, no, we did that. It's fixed now. That's a play on. But he smoked AD right across the unibrow.
I saw that, and then the reaction, like you said, he's like, Draymond to me is the most unlikable NBA player in terms of the antics on the floor, even the results. Like, you know, he's not going to light you up for 20 points. He's not going to get 15 rebounds. He has an impact on the game, no doubt about it. But, man, he is that guy you love to hate. You know, maybe if he's on your team, you love him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Warriors are getting tired of him. Their fan base are getting tired of him right now. But even as an opposing player, like, I don't know how somebody hasn't cold cocked that guy yet. Let's keep it real. Him or Dylan Brooks, like, they always try to get under your skin, you know, to show up, show you up. And like you said, he whacked Anthony Davis. And they didn't even look at that. I thought that was shocking.
It was. It was very surprising. Do we have Drape's Takes coming up to look forward to?
Yeah, I got you,
All
big
right.
guy. I got you.
That's next year, Drape's Takes. Kyle Draper, live from Miami next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Very strong comment on the text line here. You got the Drive Guys. Kyle's in Miami getting ready for the Kings and Heat tomorrow. Whitey in Sacramento. And on the text line, Kyle, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You just spoke about how there was a time when LeBron, who got hit by Dylan Brooks last night, somebody would have leapt to his defense, one of his teammates, from the 916. That's why I can't stand the league anymore. Guys are clearly not invested enough to stick up for each other. Too much money. Hadn't thought of that. But I think also it's with LeBron, it's like he's just like he's bigger than just a teammate, right? He's like, that's LeBron. I don't know. Are we LeBron's like the league itself, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. But think about this, Texter. The reason they can't stand the league is because guys aren't going to fight. They're not going to commit hard fouls. It's like, what are we, I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
Well, he didn't he or she, I don't know, but they didn't say guys aren't going to fight. They said they don't stand up for each other anymore.
What did you want somebody to do? If not come back and fight or I don't know. Maybe I took it a little too far, but, you know, I appreciate the text. Hit us up, 916-339-1140, but nah.
You're
do
right.
Do we really want the Knicks and Heat in the 90s? Is that what we want?
You're right.
Do we want the Malice in the Palace? Is that what we want?
Yeah, poor, you know, Kermit Washington and all that. No, you're right. There was a time when we had that, and Commissioner.
There has to be a balance, right, somewhere, hopefully.
Commissioner Stern, for better or worse, he legislated that out of the game. I mean, you can't blame a guy now for not wanting to get thrown out of the game and hurt his team.
Right. You can't even come off the bench anymore, you know, and be a part of a pushing and shoving. And so, I appreciate the text, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to Drape's takes, I'm just wondering, what's your level of Super Bowl fever right now? How you feeling about the Super Bowl? I know you're focused on the Kings, understandably. You're in Miami. They've had a lot of Super Bowls there. I mean, is it like, because I'm having a hard time containing myself. So I'm just wondering.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
The game is like next month.
I know.
It's weeks away.
It literally is. You're right.
Whitey Drapes is sipping on an umbrella. You see, he's got the pineapple in the cup. He's already. He don't care about the Super Bowl.
How'd you know?
Because we can see you on the stream yard.
I tell you what, Jay. You must know I like this job. I'm in Miami, Florida.
I'm telling you.
Beautiful day out. And I'm stuck in this darn room for 4 hours with you clowns?
You're in a ballroom?
Look like he's at a convention right now, man. What is a tech convention going on behind you?
Dude, I think there's some paper convention going on or something. No, this is the team's actually meal room. This is where the team will eat their meals. I was going to do it from my room, my hotel room, but the lighting's bad. But then I came down here, and I'm like, this ain't much better. And so I apologize for the quality.
We can see everything.
Like you about to have a prom. Yeah, you got your suit ready?
Let me get out of the way here. If you're on the YouTube chat, you'll be able to see. This is where the squad will eat. And I don't know if you can see those chairs, row of chairs right up in front there.
Those symposium?
That's where they're going to do the film room. They're going to put up a little screen right there, and everybody going to sit there and watch film. So giving y'all some behind the scenes on the YouTube chat here.
Nice, nice. Why don't you give
can't
us when you're ready?
Anywhere else.
Yeah. Another thing we can't get anywhere else, Drape's takes with the Drive Guys.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Drape's takes, a special South Beach edition. That's right, because that's where I want to be right now. I want to be in South Beach. I want to be at the Clevelander. I want to be hanging out on Ocean Ave. Instead, I'm with you guys, so I'm going to deliver the flavor for you here. Let's talk about last night's game. I mentioned it in the first segment. We can talk about all the fake outrage we want. We could talk about the 19 turnovers that led to 22 points. We could talk about the 3 of 19 shooting from 3 against a shorthanded Memphis team. If you want to be upset about that, go for it. It's your right. But I choose to look at the positive from this team, Whitey. I saw growth in this team. Remember, we've seen at times when this team gets behind, guys will start going one-on-one, Malik or De'Aaron, and try and bring them back themselves. I thought they stuck to their principles. They were very measured in their comeback, and they never panicked yesterday. And to me, that's a sign of growth from this Sacramento Kings team. It was like, you know what? It was sort of like your San Francisco 49ers. The Lions got up big, and the Niners never panicked. They came out and handled their business. And I thought to hold the Grizzlies to 17 in the second quarter, 21 in the third quarter, and then 23 in the fourth, what more could you want from the Sacramento Kings? They did a fantastic job defensively, and that's why they got the win. That's my first take, Whitey.
Well, now that I know that the mock outrage gets under your skin a little bit, I'm going to have to come up with some. I don't know how you're so excited when they miss they go 6-for-10 from the foul line. I don't know. 60% from the foul line ain't going to get it done, Kyle. I don't know what game you're watching, but what is that? That's a disgrace. Come on.
All right, Matt George. That's what I'm going to start calling you, Matt George, because Matt George was on one last night. And I'm like, dude, lighten up. Y'all had good weather in Sacramento yesterday, too.
Yeah,
go outside.
Definitely.
Take a walk. Go walk the dog or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Go to the Folsom Lake or the river or something. Enjoy your life. There's no reason to be outraged over what we saw yesterday. Do you want De'Aaron Fox to make his free throws? Yes. Do you want them to cut down on their turnovers? Yes. But to be angry about it? Come on, man. I'm in South Beach. I'm in Miami. I can't be angry about anything. Right.
Show that
now.
Cup again, Kyle. Show that cup again.
I got my cup, my mocktail going right here. My virgin colada is what I got. I was out at the pool earlier today, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, dang. It's 4:30. I got to go do this damn radio show.
If you
and
like
so,
Drapers Colada. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I told my man Jose I'll be back in between breaks to get another one. So let's hurry this up.
Here's your first one. Fine. What else you got?
The second Drapes take. I got to give a shout out to my guy, Domantas Sabonis. Mike Brown mentioned him in the same conversation as Wilt Chamberlain last night. And he said, you know what? Domas isn't Wilt. We all know that. But the way he's playing, I need to check social media. Did Kevin O'Connor say anything? Did John Hollinger say anything? I'd said it before and I'll say it again, Whitey. Domantas Sabonis is the third best center in the NBA. He's behind Embiid, he's behind Joker, and then it's Domas. And I don't include Anthony Davis as a center. He's not a center in my book. But for my money, give me Domantas Sabonis. 26 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive end. And the fact that he just plays hard every single night, how can anyone really knock down this guy or denigrate this guy? He is an ideal basketball player. That's what you want from your NBA players, guys that bring it every night.
Here's an idea for Domas. Why doesn't he open a Lithuanian bakery specializing in turnovers? He had 3 of them last night. The Kings last night with 19 turnovers. That's a disgraceful display against a lesser team that you should have been able to beat with your eyes closed, Kyle Draper. So, yeah, 26 rebounds, great, but you have got to take care of the basketball at this level.
I tell you, man, do you have any joy in your life? Like, is there anything that makes you happy, Matt Jordan? I mean, Whitey, like, what are you doing? Like, you could be outraged about the 3 turnovers, but look at the 26 rebounds.
Yeah,
he was dominant. The dude was 10 for 11. Uh-huh. Oh, but he did miss that one shot. I'm sure you're outraged about that, too.
Yeah, I thought he should have made it. He should have had that one.
Right, he should have made that shot.
Yes,
he should have made.
I could have made that shot.
Let me go to my
left-handed.
Final Drapes take.
Yeah,
my final one, Whitey, and this one is near and dear to my heart, and it's my guy Harrison Barnes. People will wake up today and be like, "Oh, Harrison Barnes resorted back to himself. Only scored 12 points. Where was HB?" I don't care about the 12 points from Harrison Barnes. You know what I care about from Harrison Barnes? He took 15 shots. Re-rack it, Jay. Re-rack it. My guy took 15 shots. He was active. He was impactful. And maybe the shots didn't fall, but I love what I saw from Harrison Barnes last night. Take the open shots. Be aggressive. They didn't fall last night, just 5 of 15. But we still see how valuable he is. 35 minutes, and he was active. And so give Harrison Barnes some props, not just for the 12 points, because you can look at the box score and be like, oh, he only had 12 points. I'm looking at the shots. The guy was impactful last night.
Yeah, I'm with you. And all kidding aside, it is interesting that he took 15 shots. Herter took 15 shots. Nobody else on the team took more than that. Yeah, De'Aaron taking 14. And I'm telling you, one of the real stories of this turnaround is however the Kings got back to this. Was it just, hey, HB called for the ball, we gave him the ball, he made a few shots, and voila? Or did somebody at some point say, look, guys, this is our best chance to win is to have a more balanced attack? I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know. But whatever it is, it's working, and I'm with you. 15 shots for HB, even though he only made 5, is still a good sign.
Yeah, it's not like 2 shots, you know? It's not like 4 shots.
Right.
He was still active, engaged. He took 10 three-pointers last night, and they were mostly good looks. He just didn't knock them down. And so I got a bonus Drapes take real quick.
Woo.
Give Trey Lyles some credit, too. He played 24 minutes, which interesting. Keegan Murray only played 24 minutes also, so it was a light night for Keegan Murray. Maybe didn't have it going. Mike Brown going with a Trey Lyles, Harrison Barnes, and Domas front court a lot last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Malik not playing great lately, but all right, I know. They won, so we're good.
Exactly.
Can't nitpick. Yeah.
No need for that fake outrage. Yeah. They won the game. Let's enjoy it. I'm down here in Miami. Let's enjoy it, baby.
Yeah, so you don't think anybody, and you know, I was kidding around about this stuff, but you don't think anybody who is upset about the game can, you don't think any of that's sincere? You're not buying any outrage over that game last night? Because you call
not
it
at
fake
all.
Outrage.
Not at all. Yeah. Yeah, because, and that's what the media does. That's what we do nowadays. It's like, oh my gosh, how can they, barely get by a Memphis team? What are we talking about? A week ago, they would have lost this game. 2 weeks ago, they would have lost this game. And so, sure, they didn't blow them out like you wanted them to, but I was very encouraged by what I saw last night from this team. Just its ability to bounce back. And think about it. Outside of the 33 first quarter points by the Grizzlies, let me do the math. The Grizzlies scored 61 points over the final 3 quarters. Think about that, Whitey.
Yeah.
61 points. So outside of the first quarter, the Kings pretty much controlled that game. They handled them in that game. And so I'm not going to be outraged by that.
All right. Fair enough. We got some interesting questions for you on the chat. We'll get back to those. And when we come back, we have an update on the Sacramento A's. Kyle's in Miami. Whitey in Sacramento. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sport. Kyle Draper's having a heck of a time in Miami, getting ready for the Kings and the Heat tomorrow. And you're right, Kyle. I assume the weather's great there, but we're having really nice weather, at least today, in Sacramento. Beautiful sunrise today. Rain's supposed to come tomorrow, but I assume it's just balmy there, sunny, warm in Miami.
70s, sunny, a few clouds out there. You know, I thought about taking a swim, a little dip in the pool. Decided not to, went for a nice walk, had some lunch at an outdoor restaurant, and I tell you what, as soon as this show is over, your boy's going to go find a good meal somewhere.
All right.
Maybe head to South Beach. I don't know. I got to get into something tonight.
Mm-hmm. On the chat, Manny Two Legits, this very nice road winning streak we have here. If we can beat the Miami Heat, I feel like we can really go 5-2 or even 6-1. Yeah.
Why not, right? I mean, I think tomorrow's a critical game. Obviously, Miami is reeling right now. They've lost 7 in a row. Looking at their injury sheet, no Duncan Robinson tomorrow. He's in concussion protocol, so Miami's a little banged up. But, you know, so far so good on this road trip, man. You know, 3 in a row, 4 in a row overall. You got to be feeling good if you're a Kings fan, unless you're, you know, fake outraged about last night.
Craig Sheehy. In Miami on business, going to the game tomorrow. Where do the Kings stay in Miami, he wonders.
The Best Western on Biscayne Bay, tell him. He can go there. The Best Western on Biscayne Bay Boulevard. He can meet us there. How about
do you
that?
Get drinks with pineapple in it there?
Right. We at the Holiday Inn Express on 95 South right now. Come on, man. I can't give out the secret bat location. I guarantee you, you can't get the pineapple drinks, though, at those spots.
Okay. I apologize for asking. I thought that was common knowledge, or maybe not, but I know there's places you can look that up. So, but yeah, I wasn't trying to ask you, you know, information that you're not supposed to
drink. I don't know if...
Maybe
go
not.
Go ahead, Jay. I don't know if people know. I have no idea. Fans somehow figure it out, but you know how it is. In NBA cities, you know, the same hotels, the Ritz,
Best
the Four Seasons.
Right. Best Western.
Yeah.
Best Western. Best Western, Holiday Inn, throw that in there too. Make sure the Vagabond, La Quinta. Drake, because it's a little different now. It's not the same as it used to be, you know, and why do you know this, where guys, and there's, we've read about this, seen stories about this where guys had nicknames and, you know, AKAs. Have you ever done that on the road? Have you ever?
I haven't. Dude.
Never
done
alias?
It? Okay.
Use an alias?
No, right. Alias. Nah, man, I don't have to. I'm not that dude.
So I can call and say, yeah, I want to speak to, give me Kyle Draper's room, please.
I want people to recognize me. I'm like, look at me over here. It's Drapes, you know, and they never want to get my autograph or picture. I want that attention, bro, you know, and I'm not creeping out here like that. Some of these dudes out here creeping too. So, you don't want that your name on the room for that.
That's too bad. We should come up with an alias for him, Jay. I don't know what it would be. What's your middle name, Drapes?
Can't say that.
I know. Why would I tell you that so you could just come up with something?
Whitey, man, you working for the CIA or something here, brother,
right? You want my middle name, my government name.
I know what it is, by the way. Yeah. And then we have Brian here, Brian Cardicelli, who may or may not be related to Frankie, says, that's a good point on Harrison Barnes. I remember a few weeks ago you were talking about how he should be taking a minimum of 10 shots per game. Thank you, Brian. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm talking about, man. We, you know, we just want an engaged Harrison Barnes. We don't want a Harrison Barnes standing in the corner like a houseplant or something like that. You know, I don't mind him taking 10, 15 shots a game if they're good looks. He's a starter. He's a good player. The efficiency numbers are there. And so, yeah, I'm encouraged by what I saw from HB last night.
Yeah. Now, I know we got the Kings won last night. They're playing well. They're playing again tomorrow. We got the Super Bowl coming up. But I just want to take a moment to address what's going on with the A's, because it could directly impact fans here in Sacramento. The Kings, as we know, the A's could be moving to Sacramento on a temporary basis. Interesting piece that Jay pointed out to us, ESPN.com today. Everything is still in limbo because of local TV money. The A's have a contract with your station or your company, Kyle. But if they move to Sacramento, NBC Sports California is not required to pay them the amount that they're contractually they've agreed upon because it's not in the Bay Area. So the A's ownership is trying to figure out how they deal with that. They, you know, the lease is running out in Oakland after this year. Basically, nobody knows what they're going to do, and it appears they don't know what they're going to do either.
John Fisher has botched this right from the get-go. You would think this is something that you would have already had wrapped up, already had negotiated. But now you've pissed off, you know, the city of Oakland. They don't want you any, you know, as a short-term rental anymore. NBC is looking at it, and I'm not speaking for them, but if I was running it, we don't have to pay you the $70 million?
Right.
Yeah, sure. We'll air your games. How about $10 million? Mm-hmm. How about $5 million? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now Salt Lake City's, you know, trying to get it, but they already got multiple teams there that are, you know, consider the Salt Lake market as its home market where they broadcast games, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks. And so they're without – here's the problem John Fisher also is facing. There's nobody clamoring – to watch that product on TV. Let's call it what it is.
No question.
People don't even want to go to the games, let alone watch them on TV. And so he has botched this. He is in a lose-lose situation. And so ultimately, he'll get his way, probably go to Vegas, make the money that he wants. But in the short term, they may not have a place to play. And here's the thing, too, Whitey. Even if they did come to Sacramento, what's the number? 11,000? They could take it to 14,000 in terms of seats. At Sutter Park. Same thing with Salt Lake City. They're building an arena, a stadium that seats 11,000. Like, you're talking about a professional franchise that can't even draw 10,000 people to its stadium. It's a sad day, and it's only John Fisher's fault. He's the one to blame. He's in a lose-lose situation. I said it in our text chain earlier today. It's like, I think for NBC, this is a win. Because John Fisher needs you. You don't need them.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't blame them at all. One of the things that stood out to me in the story from Jeff Passan is he writes, while Sacramento previously had shown no aspirations to bring MLB to town, Salt Lake City has been effusive in its desire. And he talks about Big League Utah, which is a group at the heart of Salt Lake's efforts. And so it's interesting because basically Jeff Passan is saying Salt Lake City really wants Major League Baseball. Sacramento has never really expressed that. But to me, it's pretty clear this would be part of a Sacramento effort to get the attention of Major League Baseball. And I'm hoping we can get at some point into contact with the mayor's office, because I want to clarify that. I think this is an indication Sacramento is all in on getting a team at some point. That is not reflected in this story.
Yeah, it's not reflected in that story, but you got to imagine, like, when you hear Mayor talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you hear, you know, Vivek talk, like, the goal is to bring another professional team to Sacramento, whatever it may be, MLS, NHL, MLB. Mm-hmm. Like, there's from a politics standpoint, from a city standpoint. Of course you would like a Major League Baseball team. I was shocked by that, too, that, you know, it basically said, you know, Sacramento hadn't shown any interest. And I don't think that's the mayor's position at all. And I would love to get him on our air to ask him directly, because anytime you hear him or talk, he's all about bringing new things into Sacramento, not turning things down or saying, no, we don't want that. So that was a little shocking.
Yeah, and if Sacramento is interested, we need people like Jeff Passan to know that, hey, you're wrong. We are interested. One more thing. And, you know, the A's have been reaching these deadlines for funding and stadium plans, just barely getting across the finish line in time. And here's one more that if they don't meet this, it could throw the whole process into doubt here. Getting a stadium deal in the first place took lots of legwork and lobbying. Getting the stadium built by 2028 depends upon staying on schedule, and the A's are not great at that. So if there's some delays, and, you know, there are people in Vegas now pushing back against the stadium plans, if they don't get this thing built in time, And already they don't know what they're going to do during that limbo period.
Right.
I'm wondering if the A's are without a home, if baseball owners could at some point in, you know, 2027 or whatever, say, dude, you got to sell the team. You don't even have a place to play. This has been like, you know, franchise malfeasance. I think it's approaching that level.
Yeah, you're talking about not having the home for maybe four seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, this would be a black eye on Major League Baseball. It would, you know, tarnish Major League Baseball, in my opinion. This what's happening now, Whitey, is the stuff 20 years from now, we're going to be talking about a 30 for 30 or a documentary about the fall of the Oakland A's and, you know, John Fisher's role in it. And so, and as you know, with construction projects, there's always something that comes up,
something
that delays it. And I mean, and so it's an ambitious goal, at, you know, for 2027 as is.
Yeah. To that point, that's the reason why Sutter Health Park, you can't just add an upper deck. That was the original plan, but they had to hurry it along to get it ready in time, and they had to change their plan. So, yes, unfortunately, we know all too well here in Sacramento that baseball stadium plans don't always go as planned. So fingers crossed that we get – I don't know. I still haven't given up hope, Jay, that it's they're going to end up somehow, some way, being the Oakland A's. I know that seems like impossible,
like you're thinking,
far-fetched, but I'm not giving up on that yet.
No, no need to give up hope. I agree with it. And, you know, the malcontent of what's going on with the A's may play, and I think that's what you're saying, may play towards the positive for us Oakland A's fans. You know? Listen, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Without a John Fisher, of course.
Yes, of course. When we come back, got another friendly reminder that NFL football dominates all with the Drive Guys. Well, you watch the game on TV, right? Oh, maybe you listen to it here on Sacktown Sports, the 49ers and Lions. Whitey Gleason here in Sacramento. Kyle Draper's in Miami. He's having some delicious tropical drinks. He should be poolside, but no, he's in some ballroom somewhere. Well, that's okay. Conference room, whatever it is.
I might relocate during a long commercial break and head on out there.
You need to get out there poolside, bruh.
But it's getting dark out here, dude. The time difference is killing me. It's getting to be nighttime out here.
I gotcha. Well, anyway, my point was the TV ratings, as you've probably seen by now, for the game between the Lions and the 49ers, massive. And it's like every week the NFL is setting new records. And these numbers may vary, and they're still calculating them. 56.6 million viewers for 49ers Lions, fourth most non-Super Bowl telecast in the history of Fox. 56.6 million viewers.
The NFL is king. I mean, you know what's so crazy? Why do you? How much did you say? 56?
56.6, yeah. I've seen it higher than that. I've seen the estimates run a little higher than that even.
Meanwhile, my beloved NBA is touting that the Warriors-Lakers game drew 3.9 million, I think it was, or something like
that. I know.
It's so embarrassing. Like, it's amazing. Like, the NFL is king. I mean, it's in our DNA. It's interesting. My daughter, who's not even a football fan, is going to a Super Bowl party. Like, she's excited to go to a Super Bowl party. And I'm just like, you know, she don't care about football, but football is like the event.
Yeah.
You know, it's a gathering. People get together. They don't do that for a basketball game, a hockey game, but for an NFL game, it's a 1 week thing where people get together and bond over it.
Every game's an event. Yeah. The league announced today, the NFL, that is, that this year's 12 playoff games averaged, all the playoff games, 38.5 million viewers, making this the most watched playoffs the NFL has ever had, ever.
Mm.
And the Super Bowl will probably set the record, which I believe was set last year. Funny thing is, they didn't announce that last year's Super Bowl had the most viewers ever until sometime in May, because they crunched the numbers and then they came out, well, we've added everything up now. And it was like in May that they decided last year's Super Bowl was the most watched. But I think, you know, I know they had the Eagles playing last year, Kyle, but I think this year's going to top even last year.
I don't know. One guy who might not watch it, though, is yours truly. No. See, you think it's because of the Niners being in it. No, remember, we're in OKC.
I know.
And then we hop on a plane. I'm hoping the Wi-Fi is good enough to watch it, but it's crazy. We fly to Phoenix right after, I believe. And so I may be on a plane when the game is going on. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, I don't know if you've heard about this yet. I'm working on a new song because you've taught me to become, you know, such a Taylor Swift fan. And I, you know, I'm looking for some way to, you know, pay tribute to her with the game coming up. So I'm working on this song, and I, you know, I'd have to get someone else sing it, but basically it would go some like, Chiefs will never, ever, ever beat the 49ers, you know, something like that, don't you think? You can show your tight end's famous girlfriend on TV. How about it?
That's a good idea for Niners fans. You may, maybe E40 will sing that version for you also or something like that. But, no, you know what's so crazy? I was in Memphis yesterday, and before the show, I'm walking down Beale Street, and I'm ducking into music store after music store after music store. And I'm like, hey, do you have any Taylor Swift merchandise, anything I could buy? Because I'm telling you, your boy was going to wear something. You know, I'm a Swiftie first and foremost.
Yes.
But, and the fact that her boyfriend is taking on the Niners, I'm like all in on Kelce and Swift right now. And so I was going to wear some Swiftie gear. I couldn't find it.
Couldn't find any?
But trust me, I could, because it's in Memphis. They got tons of Elvis stuff. You want some Elvis gear? I can hook you up with some Elvis gear, some BB King. They got plenty of that, but no Taylor Swift. Yeah, it was a little, it was shocking. It was
shocking. What was BB King's guitar? Wasn't his guitar named Lucille, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, you guys had nice shots last night of Beale Street on the telecast. One more thing, talking about sports on TV. This came out last week. I'm sure you're aware of it. You were aware of it before us, but we didn't talk about it. Because the Warriors had those games postponed because of the passing of their coach, they had to redo the schedule. So there's a Dallas Warriors game that got moved, and it's going to bump now. I think it's April 2nd. They're going to move a Kings Clippers game that was going to be on TNT. That's not on TNT now. It's going to be the Warriors and the Mavericks. And I mean, I guess, do they know what they're doing? I mean, Clippers Kings April 2nd, that would be a pretty good game.
I agree, but you know how the NBA operates, and this is one of the frustrating, it's about the star power, Steph, Luka. They're not going to market it as Warriors Clippers or Warriors Mavericks. They're going to market it as Steph versus Luka. And so I'm not sure, like the Warriors already have their maximum number of national games. It's not like, oh, we took one away earlier because of, you know, the two canceled games. So we owe this to you. And so I'm shocked that, because you're right. It seems like the Clippers and Kings, they always play some great basketball games. And you're talking, you know, what's going to be two of the top five teams in the Western Conference late in the season, battling for position. But it's all about the star power. Luka versus Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that the Clippers obviously have a lot of star power. And I know you're right, but I also think they should consider that De'Aaron Fox now, did you know this, Kyle? He has the 15th best-selling jersey in the entire NBA.
That.
Yeah, it goes Curry, Tatum, LeBron, Wemby, Giannis, Luka, Booker, KD, Maxey, Dame, and then Ja, Embiid, LaMelo Ball, Joker, and De'Aaron Fox, number 15.
You know what's so crazy about that? Shout out to our guy, Foxy. You see that Fox number 5 wherever you go now in the NBA. But I don't think Shai Gilgeous was on that list.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right? De'Aaron was ahead of a guy like Shai Gilgeous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have Maxey on there, and you have somehow LaMelo Ball on there. And I love watching both those guys play. I'm just surprised, especially LaMelo Ball is higher than Jokic or De'Aaron Fox. It's crazy.
Yeah. Is this some funny math you're thinking here? Is something going on? Because you're right. How is LaMelo Ball ahead of some of these other guys? I mean, you got and Ja still on there. Like, people still loving Ja. And how about the Joker? One of the faces of the NBA, LaMelo Ball being ahead of him. It doesn't make sense. I'm surprised. I think I would not be shocked if tomorrow they came out and said, oh, man, we messed up, actually. Shai Gilgeous, you know, because he's like, kids love Shai Gilgeous Alexander. That's all my son talks about is Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Was Edwards even on that list?
Nope.
Wasn't even on the list. So De'Aaron Fox ahead of Shai and Anthony Edwards. That's massive.
He would have been, but the league was mad because he took shots at the referees last night.
Right.
So they said, you're not going to be on the top list of top 15. What'd you think of that? He said, I'm going to get fined, but I don't care. It was like playing 8-on-5 last night.
dude, he's one of the best interviews in the league. And I agreed with the you know, his point on that last dunk that he had. Clearly got whacked on the arm. What's so crazy is the NBA's two-minute report came out, and they called that marginal contact. It's like, I'm tired of the two-minute report, man. I'm done with it. It's ridiculous now. It's a joke.
It is. It really is. And there's just the inconsistency of officiating now is a real issue for the league. And I know it's a very difficult job, and I know there are some very good officials, but they're going to have to work with everybody to establish some kind of policy, because you watch the games and like, that was a foul a minute ago and it's not now. And that's bad for everybody. And there's too much.
And that's why our boy Mike Brown went off, right? You don't know what the rule is anymore. What's a foul? What's not a foul anymore?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, is it too early for NBA scoreboard watching? Never! And the Kings may be making a move. That's next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.